Ukrainian officials say their troops are advancing on Bakhmut. This comes after Russia claimed to have control over the city. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky just wrapped up a charm offensive trying to shore up support at G7 summit in Japan and the Arab League summit in Saudi Arabia. For more, we're joined by John Hudson, national security reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, John.
Hey, good to be with you.
So, John, Zelensky sat down with allies at the G7, who also had a round of meetings with other invited guests, including India and South Korea. Was he able to get any new promises of aid?
Yeah, so this has been quite a trip that he's been on. You know, it obviously started in Europe, went to the Middle East, and has rounded up in Japan. He had a huge amount of success when it comes to European allies. They were giving billions of dollars and making new commitments on armored tanks and vehicles, a lot of new munitions, a lot of anti-missile munitions, which are so important for defending the population centers in Ukraine. In the Middle East, it was a bit of a more adversarial conversation. He said, some of you have turned your back on us. And then in Asia, a little bit more of a friendly gathering, G7, the world's largest democracies. He got some promises, for instance, from the South Koreans on non-lethal aid, but they're still not in a place for providing lethal aid. And when it comes to the Japanese, they sort of felt like they were doing their part by just inviting him to talk and meet with world leaders.
Right. And there was also some announcements of new sanctions against Russia. But right before the G7, Zelensky made a surprise appearance at the Arab League summit. Here he is speaking to that body.
We will never submit to any foreigners or colonizers. That's why we fight.
I mean, those remarks directly seem targeted to his audience to invoke the Arab world's own experience with invasion and occupation. How did the speech go over with the audience, John?
Yeah, you're right. It was tailored because if there's one region that knows what it's like to be colonized and still has a sour taste in the mouth, it is in the Middle East. The reception I've heard it was good in the sense of, this is part of the Saudi Crown Prince MBS's efforts to bring more parties together, enhance the sort of diplomatic speed dating that's been happening across the Middle East. But it was also adversarial at the same point. He said some of the people in this room have turned your back. And, one of the big highlights of that gathering was that Syria's President Assad was there. And this is someone who knows what it's like having the Russians bomb extensively in your country, except in the case of Assad, that was at his invitation, as opposed to in Ukraine, which is currently a belligerent. And so very different experiences, and very countries in the Middle East have a much different experience with Russia. Yeah. They have tried to downplay differences over the war in Ukraine. They have tried to improve their diplomatic standing with Russia and issue sort of basically very neutral comments on how they can, reduce the violence and play a beneficial role rather than condemning Russia's invasion.
And in our last minute, I just want to turn to Bakhmut, where Russia is claiming victory. Just how significant is this for the war, John?
It's symbolically very important. The Russians have not seized a city in Ukraine in a very long time. Strategically, this is the capture of Bakhmut has been downplayed by analysts. But the thing is, as soon as the capture of the city became important to Russia, it then became important to Ukraine. And trying to stop them, trying to bleed the Russians out in Bakhmut has been a priority. Right now, what you're seeing is Ukrainians are sort of on the outskirts of Bakhmut, shifting their position from trying to defend the city to now making it more costly for the Russians to hold.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, John Hudson, national security reporter for The Washington Post.
Good to be with you.